B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
It's E3 2019 week, and we're continuing on our special coverage of E3 2019. Welcome back for another hour. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. Coming up on this hour of Checkpoint XP, listen, we didn't just get access out at E3 2019. We also got to go out to the LCS. We're going to speak with Chris Greeley as well as Double Lift. That's coming up this hour here on Checkpoint XP. But it's time now to talk about the last two showcases of E3 2019. And I have to say, maybe some of the most surprising and impressive showcases of E3 2019.
When's the last time that you got on the air or you woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I'm going to get on the air and say some nice things about Square Enix today?
It has been exactly 4 years, 29 days, and 17 hours.
Do we have to get like a little thing?
I'm still about to struggle with it, okay? This is a cautious optimism I'm employing.
Well, now we have to reset our little calendar on the wall. 4 years since last Square Enix compliment. Great.
I know, right? It's frustrating because I consider myself a lapsed Square Enix fan, right?
I'd agree with that.
I was a huge fan, and then as of Final Fantasy 13, they kind of lost me.
Sure.
Right? I played 14 pretty loyally, but as of 13, I kind of consider myself an expatriate from the series. But here's the thing.
Nate, you didn't play 15 at all, did you?
No, I played it a little bit, but just enough to know that I hated it with every fiber of my being. Here's the thing. So we got maybe our best look at the Final Fantasy VII remake as it stands. And the big question mark for me, because of course, yeah, you're going to be able to retell the story. You're going to be able to give new graphics and reimagine the world. That's all well and good. But what is the combat going to look like? Because there's a lot about the FF7 battle system that rings true, that I want to stay in it.
Yeah.
And I think that they got it right.
Because you knew they weren't going to keep it exactly as was. Exactly, those ages have kind of passed.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of updating to the modern world that they're doing. We knew there wouldn't be turn-based, but honestly, you know, as the biggest FF7 fan here and as one of the people who kind of pushed back against the idea for the longest time, I don't hate what I saw, and there is a certain appreciation that you see in the way that they've at least tried to adopt certain things about the old battle system.
That's such a backhanded compliment, though.
I don't hate it.
No, man.
Until I get my hands on it, no.
It looks good.
It
does. They took the best of what they had. It's very similar to the Final Fantasy XII battle system, minus the whole Gambit system, but it looks a lot like 12, where you could do a hybrid sort of real-time and turn-based combat system, and I think it fits perfectly. I'm glad it's not just Kingdom Hearts.
They actually borrow from both 12, 13, and 15 a little bit. It's like they spent the last three Final Fantasies perfecting the battle system for this one.
My biggest concern was that it was just going to be like kind of a direct translation of 15's battle system.
It's not that, right?
Like, you've got ATB, you've got the ability to use magic, you've got it, like, time stops and you can use abilities. Like, all of these things actually like play to the nostalgia factor and make me want to pick it up.
So that game,
how cool was it that the materia is actually visible on the weapon, materia slots?
Yeah.
And so like different weapons may have like different numbers of materia slots. Like, that's really dope.
So we can expect to see the first injection of that content. By the way, it's got two Blu-ray discs worth of content, allegedly.
It comes out on my birthday.
Comes out March 2020. So you can look forward to that. We also got a look at Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered for the PS4 and Switch. It's got online multiplayer. This was a game that had completely bypassed me. I was a big fan of its soundtrack. I loved its soundtrack.
Like, GameCube, I think.
Yes, you're correct.
That's a lot of people.
You're correct. Not just GameCube, but if you wanted to play the multiplayer on the GameCube, you had to have like the Game Boy Advanced cable and stuff.
Oh,
yeah. So the online multiplayer is going to make this way, way more accessible. So I'm excited about that.
So speaking of Final Fantasy games, though, the one that's important, can we talk about Final Fantasy VIII for a moment? The only good one?
Yes. You Final Fantasy VIII stan, stop it.
So yes, I went into this. All the, you know, all the leaks were coming out that we were going to get Final Fantasy VIII remake announced. I was already preparing my speech for why this was awful and why I was going to hate it.
Instead,
we get Final Fantasy VIII Remaster announced, and it's everything I've ever wanted for Final Fantasy VIII.
It really looks incredible. I will give them this. Like, I've been seeing screenshot comparisons, and I have to say, they have outdone themselves for a game that has none of the original assets remaining. Like, they had to basically rebuild it from the ground up, and it looks phenomenal.
The "you're the best looking guy here" meme is dead.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's going to be coming 2019, a lot sooner.
Sometime this year.
Than I had thought, and that's also coming to PS4, Switch, Xbox, and Steam. No mobile. Are you disappointed? Even FF9 got mobile.
Yeah, but FF9 isn't going to look nearly as good as FF8 anymore.
It's true. Also, we got to spend a second here, because we got to move on to Nintendo in just a second, but Marvel's Avengers, we got a huge dump of information about this. A lot of really fantastic voice actors attached to this project, including Troy Baker, Travis Willingham, Nolan North, Jeff Schrein, and Laura Bailey.
Awesome cast.
I think my favorite part about this is that they did not in any way try to make the superheroes look like their iterations from the films.
You know what? We talked about this with Christine, super producer, when this was revealed. And if you're a comic book fan, you're used to the design of superheroes changing a lot.
Yep.
So all the people who are out there poo-pooing it, like, it doesn't look like the MCU. Shut up.
Yeah,
because you just like the movies and you don't like the heroes.
Well, they probably also saved a lot of money not having to use their likenesses.
It's true.
It's also true.
That's also very true. And it also gives those actors an opportunity to bring something original to the characters, which is really fun for an actor. Also, they teased Hank Pym, which is awesome.
Or was that Scott Lang? I mean, I don't know which design they're using.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through the E3 2019 showcases. There's only one left. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Denver 1600 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. It's time to turn our attention now to Nintendo, who had one hell of a showcase, I have to say. Two new Smash characters announced. We've got...
Sure, the Dragon Quest characters got announced, but they're not the ones who matter.
That's okay. I mean, they're going to be like, what are they called? Shadow characters of one another?
Looks like Echo Fighter.
Echo Fighters, thank you, whatever they are.
Sword
But the big one, at least in my mind, and by the way, Dragon Quest is coming summer 2019. Banjo-Kazooie also confirmed now for Smash. And that's coming fall 2019. Spiral Mountain is going to be their stage, which I think is pretty cool.
And I mean, hearing the music again, seeing their mechanics, it looks really good. And now it just makes me want a new Banjo-Kazooie game so badly, and I'm not going to get that.
Oh,
I'm
going
to be honest, man. I'm going to get really good at Banjo-Kazooie just to wash Joe in Smash with his favorite character. It's gonna be great.
You could wash me with any character. You're not going to have to practice very much.
So we knew a bunch of stuff was going to make its way to the Switch. That was a part of a lot of other presentations. So I want to talk about stuff that we hadn't seen as a part of other presentations. Luigi's Mansion 3. It's going to be taking place in a hotel.
So it's Luigi's hotel, I guess.
Well, it's not his hotel. He's just ghost busting in it,
I think. This is not a very well-named game series anymore.
No, not really. I do want to point of contention. Guiji did not ever need to be a thing that I needed to know about.
Listen, the Twitch chat handled it very maturely, I'm sure, and I'm certain that I won't see any unfortunate Twitter fan art about it.
Oh, God,
never
I know.
Google that.
Anyway, that's going to have online co-op and is available 2019, actually, a little bit sooner than I had thought. Also, we got a great look at Link's Awakening. I need this game now.
I cannot wait until September 20th. I need this this game right now. There's going to be a new like dungeon creator feature that is obviously new to the game.
So cool.
This game looks great. I cannot wait.
Yeah, September 20th, 2019. Cannot come here soon enough. I am so excited. Also, The Witcher 3 is coming to the Switch, which...
I have no idea how this works.
From a technical standpoint, is...
I don't know how it works.
Mind-blowing. I don't understand why do we have The Witcher 3, but we don't have Fallout 4 on the Switch. Bethesda, you crushed my dreams this year when you announced nothing for the Switch.
Not just Witcher 3, but Doom Eternal and the new Wolfenstein also going to be on Switch.
Okay, so...
This system's impressive,
yeah,
man.
Maybe. You get Blades on the Switch.
Okay. No one wanted that. No
correct.
One, absolutely no one wanted that. That's okay. It'll be something that I enjoy, but let's... No one wanted that. Also, a new Panzer Dragoon game?
Yes!
That was out of nowhere.
Out of complete left field. I'm
so excited.
Yes, no.
I'm the only person I know that's ever owned a Sega Saturn and played Panzer Dragoon.
I actually have a very big soft spot for the Panzer Dragoon series. I really need to talk about this because this bothered me a lot. This new Contra game. That
was weird.
The Contra revival that's just way over the top. Not something I ever needed.
No. The last thing we need to hit on, though, Breath of the Wild, the sequel is now in development.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Wow, it seems really early.
Not just an expansion, a sequel.
Yeah, not an expansion or a DLC. They said the sequel to Breath of the Wild now in development.
Yeah,
it is. When was the last time that a Zelda game had a direct sequel?
I guess Majora's Mask would technically be a sequel. Zelda 1 and 2,
yeah,
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. What does this do for the timeline?
You could say Ocarina of Time and
Majora's Mask. That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about as close as it gets. I don't know. I'm excited, though. A sequel to Breath of the Wild seems really cool. And whatever they teased in there, whatever that dead sorcerer is, I'm really curious who the big bad is going to be, if not Ganon. Well, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, Robbie and Norris got some amazing access out at E3 2019. They'll sit down with Double Lift, but ahead next, they're going to sit down with Chris Greeley, commissioner of the LCS. Stick around. That's ahead next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Amazing esports access. That's what you get here with Checkpoint XP. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the sports hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Here's Norris's conversation with Chris Greeley, commissioner of the North American LCS.
First, I gotta commend you. The LCS is doing great this season. It's been highly entertaining, and North America has been performing well on the international stage. You know, you got Cloud Nine, you got Team Liquid. How proud of you are of the LCS right now?
I don't know that I could actually put it into words. You know, these are teams that have been with us for a long time, owners that have been with us for a long time, players that have been with us for a long time. So, you know, while Cloud Nine was making their run at Worlds, we have a Slack messages with them where, you know, they'd go to play and a bunch of folks from the LCS team, like our internal team, would hit them on Slack like, hey guys, we're watching, we love you, good luck, no matter what happens, we're with you. And like, same with Team Liquid at MSI. We were super proud to see Cloud Nine knock out an LCS HBK team last year. We were super proud to see Team Liquid knock out the defending world champions this year. So, look, you know, being second or being, you know, third, fourth in for Cloud9, it's not our ultimate goal, but, you know, compared to where we've been, it's great progression. And, you know, I'm waiting for the day when one of our teams brings home that trophy and we can, you know, do it upright for them when they come back.
Awesome, awesome. We're looking forward to it. Now, we're outfit from the Detroit area. I'm a Detroit native myself, so we were very excited to hear that the summer split finals for the LCS would be coming to Detroit. Can you speak a little bit to, you know, sort of the thought process going behind picking Detroit, which is starved for esports right now?
Well, first of all, we're super excited to be coming to Detroit. You know, we've only been before St. Louis. We were just in St. Louis for spring. We sold out the Chaffetz Arena and did a one day our spring finals show there. Before that, the only time we had been to the Midwest, anywhere in the Midwest, was Chicago in 2016, and we were in possibly the smallest venue in all of Chicago. And it was a great feel for the event, but we left, and a lot of fans were like, well, wait a minute, that's it? Like there's a lot of us. Where are you? It felt great to go back to St. Louis and get back to the Midwest. It's going to feel great to get to Detroit. We have a great presenting partner in Rocket Mortgage. 100 Thieves is, you know, obviously owned by Dan Gilbert, and Dan owns, you know, from last I heard, like all of Detroit. So it's
a big part of it.
So we're excited to go for that, but it also lets us not only touch the Midwest, but, you know, we've, as soon as we announced, you know, you start seeing the messages in the Reddit threads like, hey, I'm in Toronto, can't wait to make it out. Hey, I'm in, you know, Western New York, I'm going to be there. I'm in Pittsburgh, I'm driving. So it's a great location for us. Little Caesars Arena is amazing. So we're really looking forward to bringing what should be a pretty cool show to Detroit.
And just changing gears back to sort of the international feel, we got Rift Rivals coming up. Now, G2 is going to be there, and they unfortunately are being pretty pretty aggressive in some of their talk about NA and about Team Liquid. You know, how are you guys internally as an organization looking forward to Rift Rival?
So, look, G2 is great. Carlos, you know, Ocelot is a fantastic owner, really good, you know, smack talker. We're looking forward to getting them over here. I know Cloud9 and TSM are looking forward to their dance with G2, but, like, let's not forget about Fnatic and Origin. You know, they're going to come over and they're going to get, you know, taken out behind the woodshed too. So, look, my expectation is that, you know, we're going to, you know, defend our house. And so, you know, we're looking for more of that. Ultimately, like, I want to see our LCS teams do well, but, you know, getting the European teams over here and, you know, getting a scrim against them and play some competitive games is certainly a huge advantage.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're talking to Chris Greeley, commissioner of the LCS. And, you know, there's been some big news that's come out this week, particularly about Immortals and also Team Dignitas as well. Potentially a pending approval from Riot, obviously, entering the LCS. How would that change sort of the landscape with really Immortals, a big, huge legacy sort of team and brand coming back into the LCS?
So I'm going to dodge your question. So we're super excited for Dig and Clutch. They have announced they have league approval. They have finalized their deal. Team is currently being run by the fine folks from Harris Blitzer Sports, which owns the Devils and the 76ers and the Prudential Center. And we're excited to have them back in the league. All the Immortals Optic stuff, still rumors. It's all Jacob Wolf. And, like, we all know Jacob and how true to form his rumors tend to be. But, you know, nothing's done. Nothing's approved by the league. Nothing's submitted. So I don't have nothing on them. But we're super excited for Dig and Clutch. I know Dig has announced with our blessing that they're going to bring the Dignitas brand back to LCS in 2020. They are one of the original founding members of the LCS, one of the original eight who started in 2013. So it'll be great to have them back and kind of see the yellow and black back on stage. But I think 2020 is going to be a big year for us. We've got lots of cool stuff planned, lots of stuff that's already in the works. So, you know, just more stuff to add on.
Awesome, awesome. And speaking of that, you know, this is now the second year of franchising. There is no more relegation for all of those who are just now beginning to follow the LCS. These are the franchises that will be here. What is your assessment? How are you feeling about franchising? You know, has it been a positive experience for the league?
Yes. I mean, look, I joined Riot at the start of 2017, and I came on board to help build out franchising and run the application process and then stay with the LCS and you know, deal with our owners and league governance and kind of move things along. So I have a very vested interest in franchising working. But I think we've seen a couple of things. We've seen better investment from sponsors in our teams because they don't have to worry that the team is going to disappear in 3 months. So, you know, the Alienware training facility, Team Liquid training facility here in LA is probably the key indicator of that. And I know Alienware on panels has talked about how they would have never made that level of investment in a team that could have disappeared from League of Legends. But, you know, when you get past the sponsorship level, we've even started to see real growth from team brands and the way that they interact with each other. So if you hopped on Twitter this morning, there's a great back and forth between Rick Fox and Jack, who owns Cloud9, you know, talking about some content that came out and their match today. There were some teams that never had to worry about relegation. Like TSM in the relegation years probably never thought, like, what happens if we get relegated? But we had a lot of teams who couldn't focus on building brands, building fans, like creating really cool content because they were worried that, like, maybe they were going to get relegated that split or that year, and how could they build to survive? No one has those survival concerns anymore. So we've seen teams really invest in figuring out what their brand is, how they can appeal to fans, you know, the kind of team they want to be. And for our fans, I think that's been great because it used to be, how do I pick a team? They all seem the same. There's just different logos. And you're starting to see these personalities emerge. And I think it's going to make it, you know, not only much better for fans, but much easier for them to, you know, kind of gravitate not only towards their favorite players, but also the teams that just make them feel like they want to be a part of that team.
Speaking of fans choosing, you know, choosing a team, picking a favorite player and all that, there's a lot of esports and esports franchises that are going the route of geolocation. It was very distinct for you guys not to choose geolocation. What went into that decision?
So we're I think when you have a new esport and new brands and, you know, there's nothing there and you're building from the ground up, it potentially can make a lot of sense, right? You're not offending a fan by moving a team from one place to another. Harder for us, where I have CLG and TSM and Cloud9 who have been around for years. And, you know, I grew up in northern New Jersey. I'm a huge Yankee fan. I dislike everything from Boston. Like, I mean, I used to say all the time that if aliens came to play the Red Sox for the fate of the planet, I would probably root for the aliens. And I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of regional conventional sports fans that have that same feeling. You know, if you're a Giants fan, you hate the Dodgers, right? It all pulls together. Taking a team, you know, if I'm a lifelong TSM fan and somebody dropped them into Boston, like, that'd be hurtful to me. At the same time, regionalization does do two great things. It allows teams to sell local sponsorships, and it allows teams to activate fans locally and create better community. We're looking at, you know, some potential solutions that could solve those two problems without necessarily having, you know, Cloud9 play all of its games in Boston or Echo Fox play its games in Miami or wherever teams would wind up. And we haven't taken that off the table either. We're in constant conversations with our owners about what the future could look like, how we can put everything together. But, you know, everything's on the table. We're certainly, you know, eagerly watching to see how some of the regionalized models work. You know, we've been watching as they've done kind of the home weekends in Overwatch. You know, we'll continue to chat with folks in the industry and chat with our owners and try to do what's right.
Awesome. And speaking of the future of the LCS, what are you most excited about for the future of the LCS? And I know that may be a tough question for you to answer, but what are you excited about coming up?
Well, the problem is the stuff I'm most excited about I can't talk about. But so we did have an announcement yesterday, which I'm super excited about. So I'll talk about that. So we just announced a partnership with Faceit. Faceit's going to be running our amateur scene for us. So we have a competition every year called Scouting Grounds, started in 2016. It formerly took the 20 top players from solo queue, four in each position that met our eligibility requirements. We fly those folks out to LA. We put them on teams. We match them with LCS analysts and coaches. Some of the pros came out last year to help coach. And then they play through and they, you know, get to play a game on stage and then hopefully get picked up by an academy team and can enter the scene from there. It's our version of the NFL Combine. So what our partnership with Faceit is doing, we've changed Scouting Grounds a little. So now the top 10 players from Solo Queue will qualify, and 10 players will qualify from the Faceit Scouting Ground Tour. So you can play through with, you know, amateur teams. We think when we franchised the league and we got rid of promotion and relegation, we essentially killed the amateur scene. There was no more open qualifier. There was no more challenger league. You couldn't promote up, so there was no reason to put resources into the amateur scene. This is our attempt to revitalize that. We've had a lot of amateur orgs that that have been out there kind of grinding away and running amateur competitions and trying to develop talent without any recognition or support from Riot. We've seen it. We've kind of felt the pain there and want to make sure that we're providing that support, providing that platform. And, you know, we've been talking to those orgs for the last couple of months, making sure we can onboard them to the FACEIT platform. The FACEIT guys have been great in working with us around that, and they see our vision and, you know, we see what they want to do, and they line up really well. So we're excited about not only what this is going to do for amateur League of Legends, but the pipeline it's going to create for professional League of Legends in the future.
Awesome. And as somebody who is deep in bronze tier, I have hope now. But thank you so much, Chris Greeley, Commissioner of the LCS. You've been awesome to give us your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Chris for his time. For full interviews, visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. League of Legends fans, do not go anywhere, because coming up next, Norris also got to sit down with Doublelift from Team Liquid. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.